Thanks everyone for coming to this talk. So I'm going to briefly introduce you to some essentials that are like really important for, well, if you develop for MySQL. First of all, a bit about myself. So I have started my career as a developer in 1999, and it was a short career for a developer because I fairly quickly switched to DBA and sysadmin in 2002. And then it was kind of a good year because you could, like, as a DBA, you could learn a lot from bigger companies. And in my country, in Lithuania, the internet was just exploding at that point. So I could learn a lot. And actually, as a DBA, a lot of what I did was actually consulting other developers on how they can scale. And so in 2005, I was really pretty much only doing consulting. And then in 2007, as a consultant, I could already join Percona, which was a very young company at that point. I was actually third person to join, and two first ones were co-founders. So at Percona, what I do is I lead a technical, I lead a small team of European consultants. I'm a technical lead. I do mostly consulting, and my focus is on high performance, full text search, and also I do data recovery. So what is Percona? In 2006, Percona started as a MySQL consulting company. I don't think it was called Percona. When I joined, it was still kind of a MySQL performance blog company or company behind it. But yeah, so we worked mostly with developers, and a lot of the companies that we worked with were small companies, and a lot of the time you could find that the main developer is really the guy who is also the owner of the company and his DBA, and so that's what we started from. And not only did we like consult people on their code, but we also changed a lot in the MySQL. So as a consulting company, it was kind of a side activity at that point. We would improve MySQL to make it more scalable. But eventually, it became kind of a Percona patch. We started incorporating patches from other companies, and it just kind of became a different product, eventually. And we call that Percona Server. Then we built a lot of tools for MySQL, and now this is called Percona Toolkit. Then we have a backup product, Percona Extra Backup, which is kind of mainstream backup solution right now. And we have a cluster, and as we grew, we also relaunched other services like remote DBA, MySQL support, training, etc. And so this talk is not going to be about like the best frameworks to use in MySQL, best libraries, nor like anything else that abstract direct communication with MySQL. It's going to be about MySQL queries, about indexes, and where MySQL like is strong and where it is weak. And three most important things that I want you to take away from this talk. First one is that indexes are awesome. That execution, the way MySQL executes queries, is critical to understand. And that MySQL loves when you keep things simple and stupid. There's a lot more that you can learn about MySQL. That's the concurrency control, how it does locking, how transactions work, and all the different isolation levels, storage engines, about schema optimizations, whether you should normalize or denormalize queries, etc., etc., etc. But this is not going to be covered in this talk, and three main reasons. One is that talk time is limited. The other is that we want to focus on low-hanging fruits first. And third reason is that It's covered by covered in Percona training. So you know a lot of that you can actually learn if you come and to our trainings. As we speak about high performance, because the important question to ask is what is high performance? And for some, high performance is high scalability. That is when you know you can actually get a lot of users on your website. But the reason we don't want to focus here on that is because users actually feel not you know how many other users can join this platform, but users actually feel the response time of their queries. So it's you know it's not going to be about like good resource utilization, but we're going to talk about good response time. And good response time is basically when your queries, the queries that users are executing, are fast. So that's what I mean when I say high performance in this context. So three most important things. Indexes are awesome, execution is critical, and MySQL loves when you keep it simple, stupid. And let's start with the first one. Indexes are awesome, or how you'd say indexes is they're good, right? So what's an index? I guess the best analogy for an index is a book index, and you know that's what we refer when we're trying to explain that. So I've taken a picture here of our MySQL Bible, the MySQL High Performance book, and let's say you have a task to find all entries on denormalization in the High Performance MySQL book. If you don't have an index, you're screwed, and what I mean screwed is like really screwed, because that means you actually have to turn every single page of the book, read all the text, and look for a word denormalization. You know, and if you find it, yeah, that's good. You have a page which has which is about denormalization. If you have an index, however, and you normally have you know where the index is, right? And so does MySQL. So you go to an index, you find a word denormalization. And you know that it's going to be on, you know, this page and these other two pages. You turn that page, and you know pages are enumerated. They are sequential, so it's easy to find. And you know that's all. You're done. So it's much much faster. The same thing goes for your queries. Like, so if you want to find something and you have an index, it's you know it's completely different story if you compare to reading well or you know, try skimming the whole book and looking for something. The other task would be, let's say you want to number of entries about denormalization in the same high-performance MySQL books. And if you have no index, again, you're screwed. And that means that you're going to have to turn every single page, you find denormalization, you know, increase the counter. If you have an index, however, it's interesting that you don't even need to turn the pages to find the word denormalization. Just opening the index is enough, and that actually is compares to how MySQL does the how it can use the index to count the numbers, right? So if you count something, you don't actually need to go to the actual data pages. You just look at the index, and you can get the number. So that's kind of a basic thing, like what is MySQL? What is an index? But like but that's how far really the book example goes. I mean, in reality, indexes can do much more. And I want to introduce the execution plans first, and then you know we talk a bit more about how indexes can help. Okay, so what is a query execution plan? So when you run a query in MySQL, the first thing that it does is it evaluates like how are we going to execute this query. So first it looks what indexes are available for that query. Then it does a few samples. Like so by default it samples 8 random pages and for like every index and tries to figure out what is the best, like which indexes are best to use for that query. So it looks like things like cardinality and you know tries to really see at your query, look what are you looking for, right, and how easy it is to find using those different indexes. And if you want to look at your query execution plan, it's fairly simple. You just add explain before your query. And that only works for select queries. If you do that for, like, you know, insert, delete, it's just going to give you an error. But on the other hand, if you want to, you know, if you have an update statement or delete statement, you still want to figure out whether it's going to be efficient. So now you have to basically convert your query so it works as a select. And I'm going to use a material from our training. It's going to be a small part of it, but they're using the MDB database when, you know, they're trying out different queries and different optimization plans. So, but we are going to just use one table, and that table has all the titles. This is the structure, but we're mainly going to be using the title column, which is a text column, and we're going to be using production year. So let's look at our first task. And the first task would be to find all the titles named Bambi and order them by a production year. This is an output from explain, right? So, and I will now try to explain the explain. So first thing that you first thing to mention is that if you are using a join here, you would see more of those rows, and they will be ordered basically, they will be in the same order as you join, as MySQL joins tables. So the order here is important. And okay, so select type, in this column you could see different things, like if it's a simple query you would see simple, in case of union, let's say, you would see, you know, that which query is union and which queries are simple in there, and so on and so forth. Then you see which table we're talking about here. In this case it's title, and yeah, when you're joining many tables, this is important to understand, you know, how each table is accessed. Then you see a type, which is all here, and all means that is a table scan. So if you remember, you know, the book example, that means that basically MySQL is turning every single page of your data and looking for something in it. Possible keys here at MySQL would list all of the keys that it considers for the query. So basically, you know, if you have a title, production year, it would normally list indexes that it could use, right? And then the key here is what it decides after, you know, evaluating different execution plans, what it decides to use as an index for this particular table. Then keylen, we'll see different keylens as we look at different execution plans, but it's basically what part of the key it is using, and that's important. That becomes important when you have multi-column keys, because based on key length, you can actually understand whether it is using a part of your index or is it using it at all. Then the ref column, it shows which columns or constants are compared to the index named. So that becomes important when you, especially when you are doing the joins between multiple tables. Rows is anticipated number of rows to be examined. It's not always going to be accurate, because it's based basically on the same sample that MySQL does when it's evaluating query execution plan. But it's often actually fairly accurate. And there's extra information, which is also very interesting, because it can contain various strings that explain a bit better the execution plan. And the thing with extra is, I would say that it's not always, like, the meaning is very not always very clear. So I would really encourage you to look at the manual to understand what this extra information means. Like, because even if we take this example where it says file sort, and you would expect that to have something to do with files, and that's not necessarily true, because normally if let's say you run this query, the way it is executed is that it is first going to scan the whole table, it is going to look for title Bambi, then it will like put all those entries into memory and sort them by production year. So it is going to use file only if the data set is larger than the sort size buffer. And that there are ways to determine that, but most of the time when you're selecting the result is not really large, then it's not going to go to file. So just take a look at like what does the extra information really mean to understand it better. Now let's add an index on title, and as you see, because title column is a text column, it doesn't allow to add an index on the whole title column. We have to choose a size, which in this case is 50 characters. If we have this index, you see that execution plan looks a whole lot different. So right now it has type ref, so it's not all as it was in the previous example, but it's also not a primary key lookup. So basically ref means that it's referring few like different values. Then possible keys, there's just one possible key and it chooses to use it. The key length is 152, and well, that's because the text column is multi-byte character, plus 2 bytes for a length of the record. The anticipated rows are 4, and I think that's actually true in this case. And it's still like using where, which means that it's doing like it's doing the filtering based on conditions here. And yeah, the same using file sort, which means that it's still going to have to sort the entries, and it cannot use index for that. Now the other way to access data, and that's just illustrates like how different execution plan could actually look. Let's say like what often we do is do the search on external, for example, storage, external full text search engine such as Thinx. So in that case we get an ID of the record that we want to access, right? And in this case we are accessing record by ID, which is primary key, and you can see that things look a bit different here. The type is const in this case because it's going to only match one record, and again considers a primary key, it uses it, the length is 4 because it's 4 bytes primary key, and it matches exactly one row. Now like, this does is basically it's using a range access, and if you have a query such as this, right, where bamb and then percentage sign, it basically is going to look for all entries between bamb A and bamb Z, or sort of, it's actually a bit wider range. And how does that look on execution plan, right? So if we see the type changes to range, and that type is also going to be used for sorting, and I will talk a little bit about that later. But yeah, it's still using title, length is the same, and it expects a bit more rows, but not too much really. And now to explain how the range working is, we'll have a look at the index B+3 structure. So when we're looking for Bambi, right, we know exactly like where we start in the middle, and then because our entry starts with B, we know where to go, right? So we go here, and then we know that from here we should be looking like before this entry right here, and then like we go to the entry Bambi, but we also have to look before and after it to make sure, you know, that there's no other entries that start with the same Bamb. And the interesting thing to think about when talking about like is whether like could actually be used for such a query. And if you look at execution plan, it's pretty clear that this is a full table scan because the type changes to all. And it doesn't consider the same title key that we have. It's going to scan a lot of rows. And the reason is really that when you look at the index and you look at the entry, you really don't know which side it should go, right? Whether it should go right or left to find the Alp Fiction entry. So that is the reason why using like with a percentage sign in front is not really going to help. And it's just going to be a full table scan. All right. Now, it is also important to take a few different samples when you're using like to understand like how far can you really go. Because if you look at the execution plan, it would seem that this particular query with title like Z and percentage is, you know, it's good, right? Because it only examines like 10,000 rows and it's pretty fast. But then if you try T, right, and it's all of a sudden switches from it switches to a full table scan. And it's like it may not be obvious immediately, but if you look at the number of movies that start with T article, and you realize, you know, why you get so many entries. So it's important to consider how short can you really make that beginning of the string that you're going to search on. Okay, so far so good. Okay. So what if we try multiple conditions, right? So in this case, we'll look for title pilot, which has production year between 1997 and 2002. So we drop the title index, and we can see that if it uses, again, the full table scan because it basically has no index to use. And we are also faced with different options, right? Because we could add an index on production year, we could add an index on title, we could add an index on both production year and title, and also title and production year. And let's try with production year first and see how that looks. If we're trying to use that index, or rather we just have it, you can see that MySQL considers that key, possible key, but it doesn't use it. And the reason is that it, after sampling, just, you know, taking few samples of data, it realizes that number of movies between 1997 and 2009 is going to be a lot of movies, and it doesn't really make sense to use a key for that, because it's still for every entry that is going to match that secondary key on production year, it's going to have to read an actual entry from data, and it's going to have to look there for movies that match title pilot. So in reality, it's going to be a lot more work than just simply reading the data from by the primary key. And therefore, it decides to do just that. If we narrow the range, then it can actually use that key. And you can see it chooses to use the key on production year. The number of rows it matches is still quite a lot, but in this case, we can see that it's better than using full table scan because it's a lot less rows to analyze. If we add the key on title, we can see that MySQL considers both keys possible, but it decides that key on title will work much better. And while even though the key length is actually longer, and we can now compare how these two execution plans look. So in the first case, when we only have key on production year, then the key length is 5, right? But then the problem is with that, as I mentioned, is that it has to load every record that it matches by production year from the primary key pages, and then look for a given title. And in this case, even though the key length is longer, it only needs to load fewer rows, and that appears to be less expensive. And the way MySQL does this calculation is it has this so-called query cost, which you can actually figure out, although it's a meaningless number. It's just like a big number, meaning the price that MySQL has calculated for a given query. But it has calculated like different query costs for these different execution plans. And you know, based on that, it decides that this one will just work better. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. And this is why it's also important to check your execution plans. And sometimes, actually, you wanted to consider different execution plans by suggesting them with with hints such as, you know, force index or use index or ignore index. And yeah, that sometimes works. There's also an interesting thing about query hints that sometimes, especially when you have like really, really small queries, sometimes it's even better to force a given execution plan, because then when you force MySQL to use a given query, given index, it spends no time on evaluating whether there are different query execution plans that would be better. And I know that some companies actually do that with like big databases quite effectively. Now, if we consider composite index, then we have multiple choices. We could have an index on production year and title, or title and production year, and we'll take a look at both of them now. Let's first add an index on production year and title, and let's see what happens. So MySQL again considers using, well, three keys that are now available, but still decides to go with the title. And the reason is that actually MySQL can only use the, like, if you have a range axis such as this, which is production year between 2006 and 2009, MySQL can actually only use that first part from the index. So even though we have a composite index on production year and title, when you have a range, it will only use production year. And the way you can see that is by looking at the key length here. Because in this case, our, let me see. Yeah, because it chooses to use T, well, it's obviously going to be 152 bytes here. And if it would use like production year, it would use only the first part. So you would see that key length is 4. And well, MySQL obviously didn't choose this plan here, because then, you know, it would have to, well, it's basically the same as we would have the key only on production year. And that's why it didn't just choose that. If on the other hand, we have a key on title and production year, then we can see from this portion that MySQL actually chooses to use that key. We can see that key length increases by 4 bytes, I think, by 5 in this case, right? Yeah, and I'm not sure why. It was 5? Okay, so I guess then 1 is used. Okay. It could be, yeah, but it shouldn't be really. Well, anyway, it's in this case, it's not as important, I guess. But the important thing now is then to understand how this query is really going to be executed. So because we have a key on title and production year, then what's going to happen basically is that it will find all entries in the index that match title equals pilot. And then it's going to use the second part of the index to filter only those that match a year between 2006 and 2009. And in fact, if we also would want to order those entries by a production year, then it wouldn't also do a file sort here. because it is able to use the same range access for sorting as well. So recommendations. Okay, so index over multiple columns, yeah, it can improve filtering. And the good thing is that it examines only pilot titles made between 2006 and 2009, and it only has to retrieve those entries from the primary key area. And bad would be to try to find all of the movies that were made between 2006 and 2009, and then try to filter out all of them that, you know, are not pilot, and that's not very efficient. MySQL knows that. Now, column order in the index. So think about how the quality comparisons narrow down the subset of the rows to examine. And yeah, the leftmost columns filter most effectively. So this is the thing about selectivity. So the thing is that, like, if your data is highly selective, and like the most highly selective, I guess, is if you consider a primary key, where if you access the entries by primary key, then you know exactly which record you want to go, right? So like this is the highest selectivity. And the low selectivity example would be if you have, let's say, things like a gender, where, you know, there's basically just the two entries, and MySQL doesn't really like when data is not very selective when we are speaking about indexes. So if you're creating indexes, think that, like, first you have to, and I'm talking now about the composite indexes, right? So first you want to add columns that are the most selective. So, you know, things like it could be, you know, like group ID, and if every group doesn't have a lot of members, things like that. And only then you add, you know, things like gender, for example, that could help to narrow down the data more. But like, if you only add an index on gender, then chances are that MySQL is not actually going to use that, because just like for every such entry, it is going to have to go and read primary key pages again, and that's very expensive for MySQL to do if you, you know, try to just to filter out data this way. Okay, exception if you have a range comparison, these columns should go to the right in the index, and that we've seen from the example with production year, where we want to, well, just, you know, try to filter out additionally by production year. And like, if that's the only way really that MySQL can do the range, if it's the last column in the composite index. And now other consider, yep. Okay, so the question is about the range by primary key. So you mean when you're trying to access data and you specify a primary key range, right? Okay, so like, this is very easy for MySQL to solve, and especially for InnoDB, because in InnoDB, pages are the data pages are always sorted by primary key. So if you specify, they're all, like, every entry is going to be unique, right? And then so it's going to, well, it depends. So if you have a composite index, right? So you could add, like, the interesting thing, I guess, about the InnoDB specifically is, like, if you consider the index structure, and I didn't want to go there, but it's actually quite important concept to understand, is that index, the data in InnoDB is normally stored by primary key. So the pages are 16 kilobytes in size, and each page would basically have entries in it sorted by the primary key. And the secondary key pages will always have the entries, right? So for example, let's say we have a title, right? So the way the index structure would look is it would be title, and then after title, it would have a record of the primary key. it's not shown. Like when you look at the execution plan, for example, it never shows that there's, it's basically a composite index having primary key value at the end of the entry. And so like all the secondary indexes have primary key at the end. Like, and if you want to define that key differently, right, then you could actually specify primary key explicitly by like adding it to the beginning of the secondary index, for example. But it's very rarely that you want to access data this way by, you know, first by primary key and then by some other value. There are exceptions, but you know, I cannot think of it right now. Did I answer your question? Okay. Okay, so other considerations when talking about indexes. So columns starting from leftmost in the composite index cannot be skipped. That is, like if you think of query that has multiple conditions, let's say you know you have three conditions. Let's say you have, you're looking for entries that have title equals Bambi, then they belong in, you know, to a certain let's say group, right? Group, you would have group ID, and then you have production year. So the thing is that if you have an index that is that has all of these three columns, then they are all three of them will actually be used. But then on the other hand, if you skip the, let's say, group ID in the middle, and you want to look for queries that have title Bambi, and that are made between, you know, given the year, it cannot skip the middle column in the index, so it would be group, let's say, in this case, to use the production year effectively from this index. So this is important to consider when you're, like, when you have, you know, different kinds of queries. Let's say, you know, you want to have a composite index, and you will have different queries. You know, one query would be just for the title. The other could be, you know, title and group ID. The other could be, you know, title, group ID, and production year. And let's say you also have some queries that have title and production year. So in this case, that is not covered by the index that would have title, group ID, and production year. So you have to have a separate index that will cover that. Though it's fine if not all columns are used. And what I mean by that is that if you have an index, let's say, on production year, group, and if you have a title, group, and production year, then you can actually use that index effectively for just, you know, finding all the entries by title. It's fine if not all three parts or four parts or how many parts do you have an index are used, but the important thing to mind is that the entries in the index, they cannot be skipped. They either, you know, they are all used, or only the, like, the first part is used, or first and second, but not first and third. Right, and only one range condition can be used, and that's mostly true for MySQL up until version 5.5, because in 5.6 it is actually possible to use a range when you enumerate entries. So for example, let's say the example that we used before with the production year, if you enumerate like where production year in 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009, then it is able to use that and another range condition. So of course you would have to have a key for another, you know, the composite index would have to have another column, but in this case you can actually use several range conditions. But that, as I mentioned, only works in MySQL 5.6. Covering indexes. Covering indexes, I'll try to just explain briefly, is basically when you have a composite index, and at the end of it, you would add actually some columns from the data that you want to access. So, for example, a lot of queries are, you know, select star from a table. So in this case, obviously, covering index wouldn't help because you want all that you're reading. But in some cases, you only want to retrieve a given columns, right? So for example, you want you're interested in the same Bambi movie, but let's say you only want to retrieve like production year from every movie that that title matches Bambi. So in this case, just having an index which lists the title and production year would actually be able to retrieve that data without going to the actual pages. So, and that's similar to the example that I've given with the book, where you're trying to count the number of entries on denormalization from an index. So if you would also have like production year with every title in just the index area, then you could satisfy this query without going to the primary key pages. And because these are in like separate two areas, this is actually very important, because in some cases, where like actually most of the time, the data in the secondary index, it's going to be sorted by the condition that you're asking, right? So for example, if you're looking for title Bambi, then in the index, all of the titles list named Bambi, they will be close to each other. But the records themselves in the primary key area, they may be very, very far apart. And so if you have an index on title only, and you want to discover what is the production year of every title that was made, that is called Bambi, what will happen is you read once from the secondary index, you find all the primary key pages that have that have records with the title Bambi, and it could be four separate areas of like the disk, and it would have to actually read all of those four pages, and it will only retrieve you the production year. On the other hand, if you have this covering index, then with one read from just the secondary key, it will actually retrieve the production year, and so it's going to work much better. Index can be used for sorting. Yeah, as I mentioned, if you would like to sort entries by production year, you could easily do that just by using using the index. Joins must use indexes. That's a must. That is that you have to have keys for joins, but it doesn't necessarily, if you don't have a key, join will still happen, but it's going to be horrible. In reality, a full a join that doesn't use index means that every time you find some entry in the primary, in the first table, and you want to join the second one, and there's no key, what will happen is basically a full table scan is going to happen for such a match. So it's going to read the whole table, and for every such match, it is going to read the whole table. And that's like really, really expensive. Therefore, for joins, when you have to make sure that there are keys, and the execution plan, you will see that. You will see a join when that doesn't use index, because it will have all mentioned there. Yeah, so even better, if the same index can be useful for filtering too. So that's basically a covering index taken to a bit higher level when you're using for a join as well. So that also means that for every join condition that matched the join itself, it can use the index for filtering again, and it doesn't have to read the primary key pages for every record joined. And this is one other point that I just can't cover really due to time constraints, but imitating hash keys when looking up on long strings is very efficient strategy sometimes. So for example, if you're matching long title names, then you could actually it's not very efficient, because the index becomes really long, and it might make sense to imitate hash index, not that like B plus like we had here, but hash. And that is when you're using some function, let's say like MD5 or part of MD5 or CRC32, to compress the string into just 4, 8, and similar bytes. And then you can just have, you know, an extra check for that string to make sure that whatever matched is actually the right string that you're looking for, just, you know, to eliminate duplicates. All right, so three most important things. Again, indexes are good, execution is critical, and then KISS, and not this KISS, obviously. So what I mean by keeping it simple and stupid is really, you know, it's kind of a, you know, like a white sheet of paper where basically if you don't, if you can, you shouldn't run queries at all. And like, that surprises some people, but actually doing consulting, it happened many times to me that, you know, after we do an analysis of slow query log with, when we like enable logging for all queries, just to really understand which queries are the most expensive in the customer system, sometimes we would find that, you know, there's this query that is responsible for like, you know, 30 or 40% of resources of MySQL. And, you know, then we would like try to optimize it and would show it to customer. And after customer sees it, he's like, oh, you know, we actually don't even need to run that query. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's some feature that we added, but it's not really used by anyone, and, you know, we can just omit it. And so it does happen a lot that some queries, you know, they just don't need to be run. And you should probably like ask the sysadmins to find those queries, you know, just to run slow query log every now and then to figure out which queries are most expensive ones, and then, you know, consider if you need them. Joins. Joins are, well, the more joins you have, the more expensive it gets. As I mentioned, like adding covering indexes for joins is pretty efficient strategy if you want to make joins faster. But there's interesting thing I've noticed, that the bigger the system that I'm working on, like you know, if the websites grow, they actually start making queries more and more simple, and that actually works very well. I've actually worked with just one big website recently, and I looked at their queries, and I didn't find a single join, and that was one of the rare cases when, after looking at the queries, I just, you know, couldn't really tell what to improve upon. And so that doesn't happen often. But the good thing about avoiding joins is not only that the queries become fast all of a sudden, but it's also that if you want a shard, it is much, much easier if you don't have joins, because sharding becomes complex when you actually have many tables that you want to join. And since, yeah, go ahead. Okay, so the question is about normalization and denormalization. And I think there's no like universal strategy. And actually same goes with joins, that it's not like I'd say joins are bad or anything. And when you start developing your application, I think it's better to use like joins just to make your application simpler at first. And then as it grows, you try to use less and less of them because you want to gain performance, you want to, you know, simplify it. But at the beginning, of course, you want to do joins because you want, you know, to start your application as fast as possible. And the same goes with the normalization and denormalization. Like, I think it's probably best if you keep your data normalized, and I try to do that, but you build summary tables for some data that you want to access faster. So that's strategy that we're trying to use the most. Then, well, I'll go quickly because I'm actually running out of time. Then subqueries. Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the later MySQL versions, they became better. They sometimes use indexes, which is pretty cool. But it's still, if I find like if I'm working with a customer who's using older version of MySQL, I would find that subqueries work really bad, and I would just try to convert them into joins when possible. Yeah, but it's working better in newer versions. And yeah, speaking about normalization and consistency, yeah, foreign keys, really bad. Bad for locking. Like the thing with foreign keys, yeah, it's like for consistency, it's good, but actually we're trying to convince customers to like trust in their transactions and do the consistency checks externally. The problem with foreign keys is the internal locking that happens when you're trying to update rows. So the thing is that if you're trying to update a table that has a foreign key, it doesn't just lock the record that you want to update, but it also locks the records on all of the tables that are related by foreign key constraints. And so internally that causes a lot of contention, and that's why you may run into a lot of deadlocks and also into a lot of just locking contention externally on InnoDB. So you know, if you're using foreign keys, chances are slim that you would hit the like the mutex contention issues, which are on a lower level, and you will first actually hit the logical contentions on the InnoDB side. Views, completely broken. In MySQL, definitely not use them, because like what will happen with view? It's basically it's always going to run a query that you have a view on, and then it's going to put that into temporary table, and without any index, it will try to filter out these results by the query that you've given. So don't use that. And a short word on stored routines. They are very, well, relatively slow. If you want, you know, to add extra functionality into MySQL, what you can do is, like, you can use UDFs, which run, well, 10 or more times faster than stored routines. But of course, they are good for other purposes. So if you have to use them, but be aware that they are, you know, fairly slow because there's SQL parsing that's happening on top of that. And order by. That's, I think, actually the last thing that I wanted to tell is, like, when you're building your application, try to find what are the most common ways that users order the data and eliminate all the other ways to order the data. The reason is that when you want to order by to be fast, you have to add all the indexes for ordering, and that becomes more and more expensive, you know, as you add these all of those other conditions and plus order by columns, right? So you want to eliminate those and just keep few that make the most sense. And as I mentioned, a lot of this what I spoke about was material from trainings that we do. And well, it's not me that I'm not a trainer, and you probably have seen that, that I wasn't necessarily always very good at explaining things, and they do a lot better job. We have a few trainings coming up fairly soon around here, so we have one in Vienna, Austria, and then we have one in France. And if you want to go there, you can actually use the discount code FrostCon for a 10% discount. There's also a conference, Procon Alive, London. I think it's the third one. It's a fairly good conference, so I really, really invite you to come here. It's November. Early bird prices, yeah, they end fairly soon, so if you want to go there, please do that. Time for questions, and I think we have maybe 5 minutes only left for questions. Go ahead. Okay, so the question is in one example I showed that data was selected by a title and production year, and the question is when the data grows, can that change, right? And yeah, it's actually true that it can fluctuate because every time MySQL executes a query, like and every time it has to evaluate the query execution plan, so and it does this by sampling, and if these like the cardinality of your data changes, which is, you know, how selective is the data based on the query? If that changes, MySQL might change execution plans. And like, actually, I'm quite surprised how often I would find that when I look at the execution plan that MySQL is using, sometimes you would see that it's not the most efficient way to access your data. And I do actually use query hints, where you actually tell MySQL how to execute your query, because it's a better way. And you can easily test that, just, you know, either by explain, you can check which execution plan it's going to use, right? And then you can test the speed of the query with query cache disabled, of course, and just, you know, see which one works out better. But yeah, to answer your question, it might fluctuate based on samples. And yeah, the other thing is that sometimes the samples are not accurate enough, right? So because it's only using 8 samples by default, 8 pages to try out, you know, different execution plans, sometimes you would find that for the same query, it's using 2 different execution plans. And so that also happens. So if you don't want that, just use query hints. Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead. Okay, so the question is if there is any cool way to add a field in a very large table in production. No. There's not. I mean, the coolest way that we're using is we use replication for that. So we do the change on the replication slave, and we switch replication slave with the master, and that's as good as it goes. I know that like the one of the, I think, top feature in the MySQL 5.7 that was mentioned by the guy from the Oracle today was that you can rename the index without actually altering the table. So that's still very far from actually adding a column, although, you know, it doesn't seem hard, right, technically. But when you look at the page structure on how the data is actually stored in MySQL, you realize that it's actually fairly hard. They do have to actually to modify every page if you want to add a column, or it will make our data recovery very, very hard to do. Because when we are recovering the data from MySQL, we actually open the page itself, and based on the structure that, you know, is described, we do the byte seeking. So if we know that there's an integer column that's going to be in the page, we know that, you know, for that we allocate 4 bytes, and, you know, then we'll find the next column, which is going to be varchar, and so on and so forth. So basically, if you want to add a column, right, that means that in the page it will have to allocate extra some space, either at the beginning or at the end, but it's still going to be there. Okay. Thank you. Any more questions? All right. Thank you very much, guys.